Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 692 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is July 17th, and it's not quite 1 o'clock on the West Coast. So we're starting a little bit early, but we are a video game podcast. We love to talk about video games, about life, about entertainment, pretty much about anything and everything that comes to mind, including taxes, which we'll dive into later on today. On the podcast, it's a concise group of individuals. We have Rough and Ready Robin Tate.
Hello there. Hi. Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, look at this.
I know.
Stubble and scruff. Everything.
Stubble. Hat on backwards.
Backwards. Dude.
Dude bro. You are the epitome of the dude bro. And then also on the podcast is me. Yeah. That's like Woody Woodpecker-esque. Robin, I just want to point that out. We do have Kim Woods also on the podcast, looking fabulous and very quiet. Also, Boris the Sane, the podcast mouse. He is also making a presence for the listeners. We come on every week, Sundays, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. So right about now. Yeah, and we're on YouTube. We're on Twitch. We're also going to do an audio version of this podcast. So when it's all done, if you missed it and you want to just listen to it while you're hanging out at the gym or you're maybe just out getting a nice tan because of all the wonderful weather we've been having, you can listen to us then. Without further ado, I do want to talk about some birthdays. We've got birthdays coming up, quite a few. The most important birthday coming up is my lovely wife's birthday, which is July 22nd. Hey. Yeah, so that will be coming up. One of my best friends, Brad Taylor's birthday is July 23rd.
Hey, Brad.
And then from there, Kim Woods. She is turning another year younger on July 21st. Not the Kim Woods on the podcast currently, but the Kim Woods that normally comes on the podcast with us, that Kim Woods. Just want to make sure everybody is understanding which Kim Woods we're talking about.
I'm interested in which her birthday is.
You can stalk her. And finally, I guess we can talk about him. Gary DeFelice, his birthday, July 24th. And everybody, jeez. Yeah.
He must be some age. What age would he be now?
I am going to guess, and this is my best estimate. I know he's not hit 90 yet. I'm pretty sure 87.
Oh, he must be close to 60 at least.
You think 60?
You're exaggerating it. Yeah.
No,
he's much older than he looks.
he's much older than he sounds too. Although actually of late he sounded like a grumpy old man, so maybe not. Everybody else, of course, their birthdays, they are all turning 22, so congratulations to everybody. They get a birthday song.
It's your birthday.
Okay, enough of that. Okay, well, I think we've got all the pleasantries out of the way. We've discussed people's birthdays and the fact that Gary is much older than I think any of us really thought he was, and that everybody else is, still young. So let's do some story time.
Yeah.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Robin, tell me a story.
So Player Skills is in the chat. He's asking where Kim or everybody else is for that matter. So we know Kim is fighting off varmints at the moment.
Right.
Mark is sickly. Pete is sickly. He has some sort of VD in his throat and he's taking drugs for it. So, yeah, Richard is in MI5 getting ready for some secret mission.
That's true. Richard, dark, government
missions.
And Phil, yeah. Phil is off the grid, we believe, running from the police at this point in time. I think that's safe to say.
Today, he will have a white handkerchief tied to his head as a typical English man to keep the sun off his head. So, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
As far as me concerned, I am literally just in like 15 minutes ago. We were at the beach all day today. Not as nice as England here. It is overcast, but it was 25 degrees, 26 degrees, cloudy, but it was just lovely and warmed. Open the window and the aircon in the car. When you put your hand out the window and you feel warmth, which is not the norm here. So that was nice. I had the paddleboard with me. I had it the last time at the beach and I didn't bring it out because I was a bit frightened of the waves. And the waves were worse today. And I actually went out in the paddleboard over the waves and out about a mile. But my God, getting back in again was a challenge. In fact, the waves were, there must have been swells of 10 feet, 8 foot waves, and coming down crashing over, and they kicked me off at one stage. And every time you got yourself just about ready to get back onto the board to ride the surf in, another big wave comes crashing over the top of you. And I last year, in fact, it's the first time I've been on the board this year. And the last time I was there, I broke several ribs with the waves. And I swore to God that I would buy myself a life jacket. And this is the first time I wore the life jacket. This because I was, when you're a mile out from shore, and if something was to go wrong, I thought, nah, get a life jacket. That's the right thing to do. Yeah, I know. Anyway, as I was trying to get under my board and I was struggling for about 5 minutes, there's lots of jet skis out today. And this guy on the jet ski came up and says, here, do you want to lift in? You're struggling there. I says, no, I'm having the time of my life. And these guys were class. I mean, they were coming in close to the shore and then accelerating at full blast into these massive swells, jumping 20 feet into the air. It looks so cool what they were at. They were having so much fun today. So, yeah, so we were all at the beach today, lovely and warm, and the kids had a great time. But, the waves were massive. I mentioned the tax man last week. Let's get this out of the way. I phoned the tax man on Friday to try and get this settled and paid, and which was about $5,000, just over $5,500.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going through this, and the guy turns around to me and says, let me just look at your account. That's that and that and that. Yeah, that's 11,700 quid. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
He says, it's that's your account plus interest and charges and this charge and that charge. This is I'm on your website right now and it says 5,400 and whatever it is.
Right.
He says, no, yeah, but there's all this extra stuff. I says, I have no documentation for that. He says, you'll have to send me that. So I'm waiting for this statement coming now. So what I thought was it's almost doubled. So I'm going to appeal it all and fight it all as best I can. I will have to pay some of it, but it's just absolutely crazy. Because when I work it out, it's for 4 years for Charlie, so it was £80 a month. That's about $4,000,
right, in
payments we got, and they're looking for 11,000 or 12,000. It's just
that's the government.
Redonk.
Yeah, because if it had been the reverse, you're not getting interest back.
No,
if they discovered magically you had overpaid something and they needed to give you a refund, you're not getting interest back. They're not giving you anything in bonus. So,
absolutely nutballs. It will get sorted. It's just it's something that's hanging over. I hate owing people money. I hate being indebted to anybody. I don't take a lot of credit out and stuff.
Robin, anytime you want to pay me back, I'm good with it. You just go right on ahead.
I have a bite now. I think it's 8 years of back pay from this show.
You don't understand, Robin. There are fees and taxes for you being on the podcast. So I will have to send you a statement that undoubtedly, Robin, all it's of funny, your salary will not equal. Yeah.
OCpod.com, funny enough, needs to be paid, I think, on the 8th of August again, and that's hosting. Anyway, no matter.
Yeah.
I'm traveling quite a bit over the next couple of days. I'm off to, well, I'll leave here in the morning, not terribly early, because I have to have a meeting here in the area first thing. Then I'm going through my office, which is about 100 miles away. And then from there, I'm picking up some stuff there, and then going from there then to a place called Portlaoise, which is another 100 miles away, for a meeting there around lunchtime. And then once I'm finished there, I'm going to a place called Killarney, which is way down, which is another 230 miles away. So I've probably got about 5 hours of driving and 350 odd miles tomorrow. So yeah, I've got a meeting on Tuesday morning. A new thing that's been launched that I want to be there at, and literally just come to see it.
Oh, okay.
And then I've got a meeting about lunchtime in Cork, which is an hour and a half's drive from work in Killarney, and then it'll be up home, which is 4 or 5 hours drive from there. So yeah, a lot of driving over the next couple of days. We got some new foster kids in. We got two lovely little girls. They arrived with us on Thursday evening. Cassie and Skylar. I know Skylar. I mean, Cassie is just, she's 7, and Skylar is 11 or 12. Cassie is just gorgeous. She's like a wee manja character. These big, massive eyes. She's just really lovely girls. We're giving respite for another foster care family, so they're with us for 2 weeks. They are nice kids, and yeah, we had them at the skate park yesterday. And we were all skating on this new skate park in Belfast. That was good fun. And then we went today to the beach and all the bits and pieces there. So it's 5 foster kids in the house at the moment. So busy, busy, busy. And what else? What else? What else? What else? Oh, when I'm driving tomorrow, I've started the new Expeditionary Force. I know you listen to these. I think we're on the book eight or so now, probably. Okay,
at least.
Yeah. And there was sort of 2 storylines going. There was Expeditionary Force, and then there was the Mavericks, which is like 2 similar storylines, but 2 separate things. Well, this book is called Match Game.
Okay.
And it's pulling all of the pieces together now. So all of the bits, which is really quite interesting. And I'm hoping that there's maybe a book or two left in it. There was a time there we thought, Greg, that it was a bit tired. I mean, this is the book, guys, we've talked about it before. It has a skippy. Really skippy, the sarcastic AI, this godlike AI,
yeah,
who lives in a beer can and is helping the humans, and he's very, very humorous and sarcastic and is an asshole, but he's quite fun. And yeah,
it's very clever writing, but it also has like a technical side to it. With like the writer is very good at, I think, giving kind of a good military vibe to the sci-fi.
Yeah.
So
good fun, and it's good. And there's lots of pop culture references and as well. But I'm really, really enjoying this again. So I'll be listening to a fair bit of that tomorrow.
Excellent.
Tomorrow's going to be really warm here. Not as warm as England, of course. But I'm fortunately going to miss most of that in the car. But what the hell? What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
For those of us in California, where I live, and of course, Luis in Texas, for those in England that are suffering through, heat waves, welcome to the party. It's about time you guys experience some of what we have to experience every year. That's all I have to say to that. Yeah.
We get that for about, it would be lovely, even if this overcast, dry day today. If it was like that all summer, it would be wonderful. I mean, for us, 21 to 25 degrees is perfect. Perfect. The guys around London and stuff like that there are getting the 40 degree stuff, or almost 40 degrees, which is, it's fine. I mean, you grew up with that sort of stuff, but over here, we ain't set up for it. I mean, houses don't have aircon unless you're really, really posh. Offices sometimes have aircon. Again, only if you're really, really posh. So we get maybe 4 or 6 weeks of really, really good weather, and that's what we're set up for.
I couldn't even fathom being in an office that did not have air conditioning.
Modern offices around, maybe in London, all of there will have aircon, but anywhere outside of London, unless it's a big company, they generally won't have. They open your window. But we generally don't have mosquitoes. We don't have that sort of thing. So August is wasp season. So mid-August to end of September is wasp season, which is a pain in the butt. Even that's nothing like what you have. Finally, got the hot tub up last weekend, had holes in it, filled it all full of water, it went down. Yesterday as well, you get take it out of the inner skin, you blow it right up. So I got a spray, like fairy liquid, like soap and water, to try and find the hole. Found the little pesky hole, filled it up this morning, got it all set up, got it filled, got the heater on, and we came back tonight, and it's sagging. Somewhere else. So that's another job for another journey. Flipping heck. We have had that hot tub now for probably 5 years. It doesn't owe us anything, but I don't want to give up on it.
For me, it's very odd because it's an inflatable hot tub, and that's just something I've never experienced before. Inflatable kiddie pools, yes. Typically speaking, the pools out here that are going to be quote unquote portable, that are not built into the ground, are, they usually have like PVC piping around them, and they've got the plastic walls to them. So the notion of an inflatable hot tub, it just screams that it's going to get a hole.
Well, the vinyl is pretty thick,
right,
on it. But where the problem is all the kids bouncing around in it, using it like a swimming pool. But when you store it, so bringing it from the bandstand over to here, dragging it into your room, it's going to happen. And it's just wear and tear on it. So I'll give it another go and then see if I can find the hole.
See, you need to buy that Flexol tape. There's a company that make this Flexol spray, but they also make a tape that apparently you can put it even on something that's wet. So literally you can find the leak and just put the tape right over the top of it. Now, of course, that's what I see in the commercials.
Yeah.
Who knows if it's reality?
I've got vinyl glue and pieces of vinyl that you can stick onto it.
All right.
But I went right every inch of it yesterday. Every friggin' inch. It must be, even when it's inflated, there must be a little
seam.
Must be a little seam or something. It's just leaking a tiny bit that doesn't... Anyway. With a bicycle tire, you can dip a bicycle tire into a bowl of water and see the bubbles. But this thing is so friggin' big, it's very hard to do that. Anyway, I'll give it another go because I want to get. I know we're members of the spa around the corner, but it's nice to have a wee hot tub at nighttime too, and the kids enjoy it.
One trick you could try, and again, the whole sagging thing, that makes it difficult, but it's at least a trick with the pond. Is when if the water levels are dipping, at some point it should hold. And wherever it's holding, you should then know kind of that ring of where the water is.
Oh, it's not water that's leaking, it's air.
Okay. For some reason I was thinking it was water that was leaking out.
Because the walls are the if you put your hand out, I mean they're 6 inches wide.
Right.
Like a wall that goes around it, and that's all vinyl. It's an air leak I have, not a water leak.
Okay.
Anyway, what have you been up to, sir?
A lot and not a lot, feels like. For Amazon Day, I did make a purchase.
I bought nothing this year. Wow. Oh, a PlayStation
I bought a PlayStation 5 controller because my plan for this generation, because I do not have the space for a PlayStation 5 console as it stands currently, because of its behemoth size, I am going to utilize PlayStation Plus Premium and just wait for the titles to hit it when they hit it. And then I know with the previous PlayStation Now service, you had to use a DualShock controller with it. So I figured, you know what, I'll just get the DualSense. It was on sale. And then this way I can easily, utilize the PlayStation service, when and if I want it through PC. So that is the current plan. What else? Pool time. I showed a picture. I put it into our chat for you. So this is the pool for the gym I belong to. And so, I mean, it's more of like they call it a resort spa. But I took my son there yesterday. I'm going to take him again today after we get done with the podcast here. And we'll just go hang out at the pool, have a lot of fun. And just, you know, enjoy a little pool time because it has been hot.
Damn hot.
It's been hot. Basically hitting about 105 both yesterday and today. Yeah, heat sucks. Okay. Next. So some entertainment. I finished The Terminalist. This is the Amazon Prime Video series with Chris Pratt. Okay. Ironically, Chris Pratt was also an executive producer on it, which I kind of found funny. He was the executive producer and he also was the main star, but really enjoyed it. I thought the very end of it got a little predictable, but overall really enjoyed it. It has kind of I'm going to try and do this spoiler free. Let me think of how I can coin this or word this. In the intro, you are not quite sure what's happening with Chris Pratt. The story in itself can kind of go in a few different directions. Okay. PTSD being kind of one of those areas of possibility. And I wish they had taken that kind of ambiguity further and really kept you guessing a lot more. But they haven't. So, you know, go figure. And then I did see Thor Love and Thunder last night. And unfortunately, not that great.
Yeah,
it just was okay. I felt like they were creating a story just to create a story. And it's unfortunate because I love the Marvel properties. I wish they could have done more with that. But unfortunately, they didn't. And you know, it just it is what it is.
Oh, well, funny. I watched the last episode of series 2 of Yellowstone last night. And it was quite exciting. It ended in a kind of weird, strange way. I mean, there was part of the episode before that they go and drop a bomb into the tank of a plane. But nothing seems to really happen with that. The season end, I expected the person who was kidnapped, the last scene to be him taking off in this plane. But it didn't actually happen. So it was left a bit loose. Anyway, it's very good. Yeah, I like enjoying Yellowstone. Hey, Martin. Martin's in the chat.
Woo-hoo. Yep. Martin in the chat.
Cool. And James O'Sullivan's doing something weird. But anyway, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
I'm not even going.
Not even going to touch that. And then I was listening to an audiobook, Console Wars. There was some irony to Console Wars, by the way. So I was listening to it as I was going into the Starbucks drive-thru. And next to the Starbucks drive-thru, there happens to be a GameStop. And I saw quite a few people camping out in front of the GameStop. And I just rolled down the window as I was like driving by them. And I was just like, so what are you guys camping out for? And I guess there was a PlayStation 5 allotment that was hitting. And so everybody was setting up shop and waiting for their attempt to get a PlayStation 5. So, yeah, I really like the book, the audiobook, Console Wars. It is well done. It is so it's factual about the kind of the console war between Nintendo and Sega, and that's really what it's kind of covering. But it does it in a way that's almost fictional in terms of how the author is writing it and in how it's written. So it comes across, you know, very it's very narrative. It's not documentary at all.
No.
So it's entertaining. And so at the end of the day, you feel like you're just listening to a story, a very well-written story, but it's all factual to the accounts of Sega and Nintendo and the goings-on that were happening then. The other interesting aspect to it is they get into some of the different ad agencies that they utilize for Sega in particular, and talking about who they're going to bring in for their ad agency. And I actually deal with a couple of these different agencies firsthand.
Oh, wow.
And so hearing some of this backstory, in particular, the Goodsby Silverstein & Partners agency, I've done a few different proposals with them, hearing kind of how they hit. This was a kind of a very like momentous moment for them was pretty interesting. Never knew that about them. So go figure.
Do you know what? I'm about to ban Respring, because I don't really know what's going on here.
Yeah, I think you might need to drop a ban hammer for a moron.
Yeah.
So let's take care of that real quick. Bear with, folks.
Done.
Okay. On that note, so beyond Console Wars, it's a great audiobook. Definitely give it a listen. It is worth it, but I would say do the audio version. Don't read the book, listen to it. The guy that does the actual voiceover is fantastic. And this is somebody that, I've been very kind of like stuck with RC Bray, very much enjoy him. I can't think of the guy's name right now, so I will find that out, but he does a really good job in this book.
No, it goes through the Console Wars. It's not about PlayStation 5 and Xbox One. It's about the infancy of the consoles and the real fight between Atari and Sega and stuff like that there. And it's very, very interesting how desperate Sega were to succeed.
Yes.
Really, I mean, they were just making it up as all of them were, but as they were just making it up as it went along, and it was just. It was just there wasn't really a plan. It's amazing how basic it all was.
Yeah,
there's very a lot of good backstory to that stuff. If you're interested in older video, just anything in video games, it's a good story. It's well told, it just gives you a real background to the infancy of consoles in the day and games and what they had to do and what was the bad decisions that were made and when it all fell apart. So,
good. Yeah, I mean, again, it is fantastic. Highly recommend, check it out. Console Wars. It's an audiobook on Audible. And I like it because it is easily digestible from an audiobook standpoint. It paints the whole Console Wars thing from a corporate perspective. And it's interesting how. This was kind of the birth of the console wars, but for very different reasons, obviously, than what we know today, the current state of the console wars, quote unquote. Console Wars, the audiobook, fantastic. And finally, Bug Wars.
Bug Wars.
in my searching for effective ways of killing mosquitoes and flies and just your random garden variety bugs that seem to always pest you when you're out having some, like a nice dinner out on the patio, that kind of thing. We were approached by a company that was basically like, hey, we come and we can take care of your yard for you. We, put the granulars in the grass. We spray around the perimeter of your house. And we'll fog your bushes and your trees for you. And they'll do that on a monthly basis. And they charge anywhere. I think it's like upwards of like $150 a month for the service. And I was just like, okay. Well, I already do the granulars in the grass. That basically is just putting some stuff out into the grass that'll kill things like earwigs, that kind of thing. I do spray around the perimeter of my house already. Wow. So I'm like, what am I missing that you guys do? Well, it's the fogging of the bushes and the trees. And so I was kind of like, well, maybe I could find something. So I started doing my searching around, and I found on Amazon that there's a great little, it's a handheld. It uses propane gas, and it will basically it'll fog this bug spray into the bushes and trees and basically kill off mosquitoes and flies, that kind of thing. So I'm like, awesome. I will buy this. I will buy this, and this way I don't have to worry about paying them, you know, and save me about $800 a year. Well, Amazon cannot ship that product to me because California laws don't allow us apparently to use a gas-based, liquid gas-based bug spray. So they have electric versions of this, but I did my due diligence on that too. And all of the electric versions, basically it's just a really fine mist of the spray as opposed to it being more of a fog. So never to be discouraged, I thought back, well, how did I get my Gears of War Lancer shipped to me? Ah, that's right. I had to ship it to my parents because California doesn't allow you to ship replica guns, apparently, to your, even though it's, I mean, nobody's ever going to mistake this for a real gun. So lo and behold, my parents are now in possession of a bug fogger that I get to go pick up later in the month.
Is it like the thing that I have on the screen right now? Is it? Is it like that?
Yes, it is precisely like that. It is precisely like that. Yes.
Propane. Wow. Yep. It's got a blowtorch.
So the front of it heats up, and then as the bug spray is pushed forward, the torch on the front end of it, if you will, just instantly turns it, you know, into a fog mist, and then you just blow that right out. Probably shouldn't be that close to the smoke, in my personal opinion, but you know.
Murderer.
Yeah, pretty much. So that will be what I will be doing in the coming months, just fogging bushes and trees and saying goodbye to mosquitoes, hopefully. That's the plan.
Cool.
All right. Well, that is it. And absolutely, Martin, could not agree more on that sentiment. Let's get into game time.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. Games. It's been a quiet week for me, I have to admit, Robin. The only thing I have played is some Halo multiplayer, but I did play one new game. So I don't know if you want to, we can dive into that real quickly. Road 96, it was a little indie title that came out. I saw somebody on Twitter talking about it. I thought, you know what, let me give this a shot, take a look at it. So the basic premise of this game, it is kind of a walking simulator with... Martin, no, save the bugs, kill the lawn. Never. I want my green lawn. I want dead bugs. So you're in this fictional future world where there's a tyrant that is, you know, in charge of the government currently. There's an election coming up, and it's basically good versus evil kind of thing, right? Teens apparently are being corralled and forced into, I want to say, like work camps or something to that effect. I really didn't pay attention to that part of the plot, but all I know is teens are trying to escape the country and reach the border. And so your job is, there's numerous teens that you will kind of take charge of, and you make decisions along the way trying to get them to the border.
Take teens.
Yeah, you become these teenagers trying to escape this country on a trek to cross the border. And so you'll have just these different moments of, you walk along, but there's really no action to the walking. You will encounter people, you will encounter situations where you have to make a decision whether or not to take the trail to the right or left, to hitch a ride with a trucker. And there are things that will be remembered, things that will potentially impact how you will or will not escape. On my first try, I was able to escape with my teen, quote unquote, as he was being shot at by the government as he escaped through a door into the other side, the other country. It's okay. It's not completely wowing me like the person I saw on Twitter who was like, oh my gosh, this could be my new favorite game. I think it has some interesting ideas, but it is a little bit too, it feels very simplified right now. Now, granted, maybe it gets more interesting as you start interacting with more characters and encountering different elements, but so far, okay. It's an interesting concept. I think it
just get into the back of a 40-foot container and cross the border in Texas. What could go wrong?
Exactly. What could go wrong? but yeah. So yeah, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. But I'll play a little bit more of it. I'll play the next round. See if I like it as much as.
Okay.
Right. You know, the person on Twitter that I followed had indicated it was. For me, so far, it's just a bit mediocre.
All right. Okay. Well, so you try new things. So together, it's on the wonderful.
I'm playing it through CloudStream, ironically. So I just decided, you know what? I didn't care if I downloaded the game or not. It didn't seem like it's a game that needs to be downloaded.
Yeah.
It plays perfectly fine through the stream. So that was the choice I made.
Did you play any more police simulator?
I have not played any more police simulator other than I fired it up to make sure the PlayStation 5 controller would work with it. So now I have it portable. I have it on my PC. But I legitimately have not had time for gaming between work, which has been insanely crazy. And then my wife went away for the weekend to visit her folks. So I've been in charge with the little guy. So that kind of sucked up all of my time. In terms of being able to game.
Okay, so, what do you do?
Life gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah, what do you do? It's just, you know, it's summertime and it's nice and it is hard. It can be hard. Okay, well, as far as I'm concerned, I got a couple of sessions in this week and it was, a set of Corsa. Now, for those people who are asking, should I really complete this big 8-hour event, which is like over double time, 4 hours of driving, and I'm trying to break into my schedule. Rookie mistake. You can save the race halfway through.
Or really?
An hour in.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So I found that out this week. Oops. I was playing a bit there through the week, and I had one night I was playing some multiplayer and I rage quit because I was qualified top and then got punterinoed off. Yeah, it was not fun. Now, I have been dabbling an awful lot more with tweaking my McLaren, which is my favorite car, and tweaking my McLaren, and I am going through bumpers and ride heights, and I've made my car so much better now. On a lot of the tracks and using some of the wonderful setups from people on Tinternet and learning a lot more about that. And wow, what a difference. I mean, you can have different types of setups. You can have a safe one, you can have a medium one, an aggressive or wet. And what they would say is, look, aggressive is a good way to start. And it is a really good setup, you know, not a lot of downforce, harder to drive, but faster. But some of these guys that are into this in a big, big way and all of the different settings that they have can make 2 to 3 seconds a lap difference in some circuits, which is unbelievable. So I'm still really thoroughly enjoying it. Funny, I was watching on Facebook Marketplace this week, and there's this guy that's selling a Fanatec base, which is the next step up, big style. And it's just the base, no wheel, no nothing, no pedals. And he was looking £300 for it. Now, this thing is about £500. And I'm going, No. And I've held off. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep on going where I am at the moment. But yes, still thoroughly enjoying. And yes, I want to see this hour-long race. Yes, I actually think I'm going to have to stream that. I would love to start streaming some of these race sessions. Definitely it's going to be something that we do. I'm going to be away for a couple of days now, so I won't get much racing. And maybe after tonight, I'll do a little half-hour session or something and go. But I would like to stream it properly with my lovely face and if you make use of stuff. It's getting to the point where I'm really got to consider it. I think the PC is the way to play this game. But then it's not, it's the heavy duty PC that you have to get to run it is, that's where the expense is. No, what do you do? It's changing everything. Anyway, I'm enjoying my Assetto Corsa, but that's been it. Sorry, that's all I've been playing.
No, it's okay. Real quickly, by the way, I think Luis was asking if the PS5 controller works on PC. It does. In particular, Steam has support for it. So as long as you're either connected up via USB-C or Bluetooth, and so my PC has Bluetooth connectivity, so it connected up easy enough. And then in the stream, you go to big picture mode, and it will instantly recognize the controller, and it worked totally fine just from the get go. So it was nice. I like seeing that it's supported that way. Okay. I think cool. That does it for the games we played, but we do have some news to talk about. Ooh. So let's talk about some news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. I'm happy to say that I reported that asshole on YouTube.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. News. Let's talk about Alien games, Robin. So we know that there was a new Alien game that's a kind of top-down, was isometric view game that was coming out. However, apparently the studio called Servios, it's like Survivors, but it's missing the R.
Servios.
They are working with 20th Century Games on an untitled Aliens game for PC, console, and virtual reality. It will be a single-player action horror game, and they will have more details coming up this week at San Diego Comic-Con. So July 21st is when we'll learn more. But that's a little promising.
Yeah, we like Aliens. Yeah, for me,
we do.
The Aliens franchise peaked at Aliens 2. I think it's better than the first. The first is fantastic, but Aliens 2 is the best. It's
I would totally agree. I think the Aliens movie, the second of the series, was by far the best. Mostly, I think, because it still had, I think, that inevitable kind of horror, horror film trope of you get down to the last survivor. The aliens found a way to, kill off everybody and get down to the last survivor. However, the journey to that, you always still felt like you had a good way to fight back, the humans had a good way to fight back, which that you don't always get with most horror games, or horror movies, I should say. Think about like the Friday the 13th or the Michael Myers game movies. Those always the evil threat. You can't stop them. There's nothing you can do to kill them, so to speak.
But people forget how to switch the lights on.
Well, it's an important an important skill that it's easily forgotten in those moments. I still absolutely love. There is a Geico commercial out there. If you haven't seen it, look it up. You see a bunch of these young adults. They're hiding from like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy, and they're like, we should go run into that cabin with no windows, another person's making suggestion of we should just go out and see if we can make friends. They're all kind of throwing out these ideas that are just obviously going to get them killed. And then this girl says, well, why don't we just go into the car that's running? And everyone looks at her like she's just ridiculous. And they're like, don't be stupid.
it reminds me of was that the fake movie. There's a big trailer for it. Was it a Shark in the Pool? Shark in the Pool. And that's all these teenagers, and they're at this pool party, and there's a shark in the pool. And they're going, no, you can't go in the pool. No, we're going in the pool. We're going to have fun. And somebody gets eaten. And then they go, no, it's okay. We can go back into the pool again. But there's a shark in there. There's always one person going, it's pure silliness. But yeah, this looks fun. This is the thing. They're pointing to the car here. Get into the car. Yeah.
Just get into the running car.
Let's go into the shed with all of the chainsaws hanging.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very good. More aliens content. Good stuff. Yeah, I'm happy enough with that. Yeah, good.
Agreed. Okay. Sony has completed their purchase of Bungie. It is official. So the developer behind Destiny is now part of the Sony universe. This was on Friday, I believe it was announced. It has officially closed the deal, $3.6 billion. So they are now officially under the umbrella of Sony.
$3.6 billion.
Yeah.
These are megabucks monies for these companies. You imagine, you know, it's like you and me coming up with an idea, and if you and I could learn to code, and you know, like 15 years ago had I came up with something like this, imagine sitting down having a cup of coffee or a beer going, hey, we just sold the company for 3.6 billion, Greg.
It's unfathomable.
How did that ever happen?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Bungie and Sony, because Bungie always seemed to be like a, you know, with Halo and stuff like that there.
Bungie went on a kind of, you think about it, Bungie had a very interesting ride. They wanted their creative freedom from Microsoft. They broke ties and ended that relationship, I think, in a very positive way, in that Microsoft basically kind of gave them their freedom back, so to speak. They didn't have to, but they allowed Bungie to buy themselves back out. And then, ironically, Bungie then went into a long-term agreement with Activision, which I don't think they ultimately were happy with, but that I think is what, kind of gave us the destiny of the world. They, you know, really wanted to work to get out of that Activision deal because it wasn't good for them. Mm. And then they end up selling themselves back into a large corporate infrastructure. It's just kind of interesting. Yeah. So
it's funny because you kind of think Destiny's at the end of its cycle. Destiny 2 followed.
Yeah, they'll definitely have more Destiny. I'm sure they will have more. I would even venture to say, you know, I'm sure they're going to milk Destiny and try and keep that game as a service going. But yeah, I'm pretty confident that Bungie will also break out with some new IP. Sony is pretty supportive of that kind of thing as well. So. I see that in the future. Although it would be interesting, the other side of this, mobile, there's a rumored mobile Destiny game, kind of games as service type game, also makes a lot of sense, kind of like the Diablo Immortal side of things.
Yeah.
EA Skate. It is a free-to-play live service game, speaking of games as services. This was announced. It will be a free-to-play live service with microtransactions, though there will not be any pay-to-win elements or loot boxes. You won't need to fork over cash to unlock areas of the map. The action is set in a new location called San Vansterdam. Okay. And there are no paid gameplay advantages. We're taking inspiration from the games like Apex Legends and other popular titles that are free-to-play. Where spending money is totally optional. That's encouraging. Hopefully that holds true. And interesting that they're going with this completely, again, another big free-to-play kind of push. I think Apex Legends really, let's not be honest, it's probably made EA a ton of money, and so they probably have now kind of seen the benefits of that approach. Speaking of benefits of approaches, Sony, I think honestly seeing the success of the Microsoft Rewards program, has launched their own rewards program. It's the first PlayStation loyalty program that they've ever done, and this will reward you for earning trophies. As the story goes, Sony has announced its first PlayStation loyalty program. It's called PlayStation Stars. It will be free to join, and you can earn points by playing games and making purchases on the PlayStation Store. Sounds very familiar. You'll be able to redeem those points for things like PSN wallet funds and certain products from the store. There will be a monthly check-in program that will enable you to earn rewards by playing any game. Sony plans to offer rewards to those who win tournaments and earn certain trophies. The first player to earn a platinum trophy for a certain game in their time zone will also earn a reward, which is kind of interesting. Kind of encourages getting through the game quickly and completing it to 100%. And then one aspect of the reward program that did cause a little bit of, I think, controversy on the initial announcement was that they will offer digital collectibles as rewards. These are digital representations of things that PlayStation fans enjoy, including figurines of beloved and iconic characters from the games and other forms of entertainment, as well as cherished devices that tap into Sony's history of innovation. It said fans will always have collectibles to earn, and there will be ultra rare ones. Now, obviously, this sounds a lot potentially like NFTs, but Sony did kind of real quickly backpedal on this, or at least clarify this, saying digital collectibles certainly makes it sound like NFTs, but it's definitely not NFTs. Per Grace Chen from Sony Interactive Entertainment. She's the vice president of network advertising and loyalty and licensed merchandise. She said, You can trade them or sell them. It's not leveraging any blockchain technologies and definitely not NFTs. It still sounds a bit like NFTs to me, especially when you hear the words, you can trade them or sell them.
Playing that, skills, saying he's excited for it. Martin's going, it should be called Sony PlayStation Money. For the players.
Yeah, it definitely does sound a bit like NFTs in that you can trade them and sell them. But
as Playing Skills is saying there, yeah, he could theoretically he could play for his PS Plus with these, just like a lot of us do with Game Pass.
100%. So, I mean, yeah. I'm all for that. I think more it's the NFT side of it that is potentially dangerous. But we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully they have safeguards in the system to keep it from becoming, something that becomes a bit predatory. But anyway, that is out already from what I understand, or it's technically launched, I believe. Check it out. PlayStation Stars. Okay. On the bad news front, Bandai Namco said that it was hacked and customers' data may have been accessed. So Bandai Namco said it was the victim of a cyber attack and that the hackers accessed confidential information. The company told Eurogamer it's investigating the matter, though it noted there's a chance that some customers' information related to the toys and hobby business in Asia regions, excluding Japan, was present on servers and PCs the hackers infiltrated. So it doesn't sound like it's necessarily going to impact, obviously, us on the West. But unfortunate. You hate to hear about anything like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then last story, Bayonetta 3. This was announced back in December 2017. But it has been a long time coming, but officially it will be coming to the Switch on October 28th.
The hairy, sexy lady is back.
Yeah. I guess Nintendo had made a pledge to make sure the game released this year. It sounds like that is indeed happening. So there you go. Bayonetta 3. If you love the game, you got that game coming. All right, Robin, I've been doing a lot of talking. How about you do your best Kim Woods impression and walk us through some games coming out?
Yeah, I love looking at calendars of scantily clad men, and I am Kim Woods. I've hidden the handcuffs that were once hidden on my bed, but what can you do? Between the July 17th and 23rd, as dusk falls for everything apart from PlayStation comes out, Ending Extinction is Forever comes out on everything on July 19th as well, and also Fallen Angel for Switch and PC. Into the Breach is iOS and Android, and Stray is PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC on July 19th. Also, on the 21st of July, we have Bright Memory Infinite on everything, and Coromon on Switch on the 21st of July, and Live Alive is on Switch on July 22nd.
Or Live Alive.
Live Alive. Live a Live.
Live a Live. Yeah. That's a weird title.
Yeah.
So a couple of titles that stand out to me on this. As Dusk Falls. Mm-hmm. This actually is that interactive game that Microsoft has been, I believe they're publishing this. Okay. It looks very unique. It's kind of a unique, I don't want to call it the art style on it. It's almost like still motion.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it. Anyway, it's all story based, but it's up to 8-player multiplayer. So you can have up to 8 individuals in here, I guess, making decisions and shaping the story. So I'm really curious. We'll see if I have literally heard nothing about this other than when it was introduced in the Microsoft event. So I'm very curious to check it out.
It'll live and die by the story.
Yeah.
It looks unique.
Bright Memory Infinite. That's an interesting one because this game originally was only coming to, I think, the Xbox consoles and PC. And then the developer delayed this a little bit longer. And it went from being kind of exclusive then now to multi-platform. It's like a first-person shooter game. It looks gorgeous. When you look at Bright Memory Infinite visually, it looks really impressive, but my impression from at least because there was Bright Memory, I forgot what the name of the kind of demo that came out for the Xbox and PC, but it seems a bit one trick pony-ish. And so okay. I don't know how deep this game is going to be.
Deep.
And Stray. I almost forgot about Stray. Kim is super excited for this game. I think this game is going to be one of those cult following type games where you're playing as the cat. That you're cruising around a kind of cyberpunk world as a kitty cat. And I think cat lovers are going to absolutely eat this up.
Okay.
So.
Stray gameplay. It was already out on the Xbox, on the PlayStation. Okay. I see it there. Yeah. All right. Groovy.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think those are the main ones. Into the Breach, I'm pretty sure that was previously PC and I want to say Switch.
Okay.
It's kind of like a FTL, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong on Into the Breach, but anyway. All right, I'm rambling.
Yeah.
It's because it's what I do. Cheers, Lord, in the chat. Giving a shout out to Play and Skills. Luis Martin also in the chat. Thank you guys for tuning in and apologies for the asshole that was in there earlier. Robin,
are you still playing Halo on Wednesday evenings?
I am. In fact, Lewis and I played just this past Wednesday along with Martin. We've just kind of stuck to it. We've been enjoying our time with it. Still, it's good fun.
Yeah.
Gotta say it.
Yeah. Good. Okay, like it's going to be a quick show this week because it's warm and it's just the two of us. And I think we could almost wrap it up.
Yeah, I think wrapping it up is probably what is due at this point. So, Robin, why don't you start off?
To all the sick people, get better. Get back on the show, for goodness sake. If you have interest and you want to come on the show, we're looking for a new start in September. So just contact myself or Greg and we'll put you through your paces, come along and have a chat. You can't do anything worse than us. Everybody just have a good, safe week. Enjoy the weather if you're in the UK, because it won't be here for much longer. I'll speak to you through the week. And thanks, Greg. You're a sexy man in a tank top.
I cannot deny any of what you just said. It all rings true. Hey, thanks to the community for showing up. We do appreciate our loyal listeners. Also, just, again, you know what? Don't be an asshole. If you come in the chat, you want to talk about video games, you want to talk about life, great. You want to talk about hate speech, you can fuck right off. We that's not part of what we do. I do actually have to ask a real quick question, though. Speaking of hate, how was your hate holiday?
Oh, we didn't see any of the hate guys whatsoever. It was kind of cool. We just kept ourselves to ourselves. And it was quite, I don't think there was a lot of trouble. Years and years ago, there would have been lots of trouble on the night of that. But no, not this year. So,
well, and what was that holiday again? Apologies, I don't remember.
The 12th of July.
The 12th of July. Is there like an actual name for it? Is it just the 12th of July?
It's a commemoration of a battle that happened in 1690 in a place called Drogheda, and the Battle of the Boyne, when William, Prince of Orange, a very flamboyant, weird guy from France, fought the and suppressed the Catholic up, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So the Protestants came in. Anyway, all of this shit. It doesn't really make any difference. It's like it's a long time ago, and we're still fighting over that shit. So, there's nothing wrong with Catholics. Everybody should have one.
They're all over the place, I tell you.
Yeah, damn it.
Okay. Fucking Protestants. All right. Shout out to Mark and Jenny. Hope you feel better. Kim, absolutely keep it locked and loaded. Pete, quit playing with the cock cage. Get back on the podcast. Phil, we put up numerous posters in the post office. We're trying to find you, lost and found. That's all I got to say about that. Cheers, everybody. Come back next week. We'll be back in some fashion or another. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.